people think homelessness, they think, man, it's got to suck to not have somewhere to live or not have any food or not have any money. But really the worst part of homelessness is you become invisible. Like people wouldn't make eye contact with me. They were afraid I was going to maybe mug them or I was going to make them feel guilty and ask them for money. And so people just, they look through you, above you, around you. They never look at you. Once you become just part of the scenery, you're like a park bench or a bush that is to be avoided. And that invisible feeling where no one says your name or no one make eye contact with you, I would never wish that on my worst enemy. It's the worst experience ever. And that invisible feeling became like, it was like the homelessness then became hopelessness. And the hopelessness became a deep depression. And that deep depression became suicidal thoughts. And in the suicidal thoughts, I started to rationalize. And I convinced myself ultimately that the world would be a better place if I wasn't in it.
Let's go!
You are listening to the Heathfluence Podcast, and we're having candid and actionable conversations about your health, relationships, business, and ministry. And now here's your host, the Second Chance Coach for Men, Michael David Huey.
Guys, welcome to another session of the Heathfluence Podcast. It's a very sunny day here in Florida. It actually was a little cool when we woke up. And I know my guest today was just in Florida last week in St. Petersburg, which is, maybe it was last week. Was it last week, Glenn, you were in St. Pete?
I don't know, bro. You think I have any? I don't even know what day it is now. Well, yeah, I think I got back last Thursday.
Yeah. So he was in Florida in St. Pete. So it was really good because, I was actually in Clearwater last night. I went over for, a little gathering over on the beach last night. My wife loves the beach. We lived in Tampa for 27 years and now we've lived, over in Orlando for a year. And it's really funny. My last two guests, I actually met because of my guest today on Clubhouse, my friend Anthony Trucks, who, is going to be in Orlando this weekend. And then my friend Tamara Andrews, who Glenn is getting ready to do some really awesome things with. And we had just an amazing time. Her and I, she's actually going to be in Orlando this weekend too. And I'm a big golf fan. Glenn and I were laughing. Glenn's golf swing needs some help because he said that one of his children swings a golf club better than he does. And
way better.
And I'm a three handicap golfer. So I had 20 rounds under par in 2020. So I told him next time he's in Florida, I'll give him a little bit of some swing so he can keep up with his kids, because he obviously has eight of them and he has to keep up with them. And Glenn Lundy is just an inspiration to so many people right now. And I think that God is using him in a greater way than ever before in his life. Like, I just realized that today was his 820th episode on his Facebook live that he does with Rise and Grind. Wow. And it's funny. I sent him one of his t-shirts that are just made incredible. I like guys that make good quality stuff that I can wear. I don't like the stuff that when I wash it, Glenn, that it turns up into maybe one of your kids could wear, right? Like
yeah, I'm out.
It goes from extra large to small, right? and this shirt was just really, my wife always, she's always like, she goes, okay, what did you buy now? And she says, oh, it's good quality. She said, make sure you tell Glenn that he makes good quality stuff. And awesome. Glenn had one of my very good friends, Tim Story, on. Glenn has now started a morning. If you're not on Clubhouse, get with it. If you're an Android user, so sad that you guys can't get on yet. I'm sure that'll.
Oh, you can. There's something called an iPad.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. An iPad. That's right. That's right. That's how some of my friends got an iPad. So, he has a morning show called Breakfast with Champions. And he's had Jay Abraham, and he had Tim Story. He's had Grant Cardone, and a lot of really inspiring people. We were talking about before we prayed and got on here about just some of the amazing people. I told him I've got a book over here full of probably 50 or 60 pages of notes and some recordings. I told him I don't leave things just to my memory. Like you just heard him say, I don't even know what day it is, right? Like it's Thursday. and we laughed because I was telling him that that I started listening closer to a lot of my friend Eric Thomas's videos, and I heard him mention something. He was talking about the All Blacks, right? The rugby team, right? Right? And he's like, I don't even know, Glenn, where's the stadium? You know, that's the stadium's right over there, right? That's and right. And so the joke between me and Eric is that he can't play golf either. He's like, bro, and he says it in that video, I'm not playing golf anytime soon. And then he goes and freaking buys a house on the golf course in San Diego, California.
Right, right. Right.
And the day that I did my podcast interview with him, he had just bought his house and he said, hey, bro, guess what? And I was like, what? He said, I guess you're going to have to teach me how to play golf now, because when we get done, I'll walk you out back and show you. I'm on like the eighth hole of this golf course. And I was crazy. Like, okay, about time you started getting up with learning how to play a little bit of golf. Because he's like, oh, man, it takes 4 hours. It's a waste of time. But I just want to say welcome to the HeFluence podcast. A father of a husband of one and a father of 8 kids, bro. 8 amazing kids. He's counting them on his fingers. If you're just listening, he's counting them on his fingers. So welcome to the HeFluence podcast, Glenn Lundy. Thanks for being here, my brother.
Bro, thanks for having me, man. That's I really appreciate you sharing this space and this time with me. Like, it means the world to me. So thank you so much. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here.
I was saying this to our friend Tamara today. She was like, I told her about my wife and I go back and listen to these podcasts the next day. And we really just are encouraged, like how God ordains people. And I changed my thinking on this, Glenn. I used to say like-minded, but it's heart-minded, right?
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And you can't see it, but my notes here that I had with Tamara today, I said, and here's what reason why I'm laughing about it, Glenn, is because when I had Tim Story on my podcast, I asked him a question. I said, hey, how do you balance life coaching and pastoring a large church in California? And he's like, 50-50. And I was like, really? And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, isn't it 100-100? And he said this. He said, I'll never say 50-50 ever again the rest of my life.
I love that.
Always say 100-100. And it came from a story, Glenn, where Tim's sister taught him how to clean his room when he was like 13 years old. And if those of you that know Tim, Tim's right-hand man is a man named Joseph Mendoza. Joseph is just, we just did a conference with him, a couple conference. You know, Tim's single, but he spoke on the conference, right? And the rest of it was couples. And my wife and I spoke. And Joseph told me that Tim is meticulous about everything he does. So if you ever challenge him with anything, he always has to raise the bar to the next level. And so I think Glenn has done that with Clubhouse. Clubhouse is radically, our businesses were growing pretty fast as they were, but Clubhouse just expanded them. And Glenn has made a safe place for people to have a seat at the table. Is what he says. And so I'm excited to hear. I feel like I know you, Glenn, but I always say the person that learns the most from these podcasts is me, because my wife and I sit down the next day and we pray and we just listen and we want to know how we can be inspired by other people and serve other people. So tell me about Glenn Lundy's story, because it's really funny. One of my best friends, Paul Loki, owns a dealership over in Clearwater. And I've known him for 20 years, and that's the only person I've bought cars from, except when I moved, I bought a Jeep from over here because he don't sell Jeeps, but my wife likes Kia. And I don't know why, Glenn, but I can't get her to buy an Audi or BMW or a Honda or anything. And this time when we went, I had it all set up to get this new Sorento hybrid, right? Because she had a hybrid before. And she's like, honey, they get 49 miles a gallon and all this stuff. And then we get there and we take the hybrid out for a ride and she squeals the back end of the tires pulling out of the parking lot, Glenn. And I'm like, man, I might need a Hans device in this ride going. And we're just going around the block. Then we go around the block and we're negotiating. I know negotiate with the same guy. And he's like, you don't have to do any negotiating. Paul's written in here that we're giving you our costs and that he's going to give you the extended warranty and everything at his, what he's going to do. So for the 3 years of your lease, you get everything taken care of. I'm like, okay, what car did my wife want? And I can't find my wife. I'm like, where's my wife? She's out driving a sports car, the new K5 that LeBron does in his commercials. She comes back, Glenn, and she says, okay, we're not getting the SUV, we're getting this car. And I'm like 20 minutes later, you decide you're not getting an SUV, you're getting a car. So we go through. And so Glenn has been in the car business for over 20 years. And so I'm excited to hear your story. So tell me a little bit more about Glenn Lundy.
Man, dude, you know, there's two, my phone is doing crazy. There's two real seasons to Glenn Lundy. You know, I mean, there's probably 100 seasons, but but there's a part of my life that I call, you know, my 2D life. And then there's my 3D life. And my 2D life was what I lived up until I was roughly, you know, into my late 20s. I lived a very 2D life. And what I mean by that is mind and body. If it looked good and it felt good, then the answer was yes.
Yes, it's good. Dude, brother, I was with you on that.
Yeah, that was it, man. And living that 2D life, I grew up in Flagstaff, Arizona. I was a smart kid as far as like book smart. And I spent a lot of time in the streets. I grew up very interestingly. My parents got divorced when I was 11 years old. And my dad was black. And my mom was white. And when they got divorced, my dad remarried a black woman and my mom married a white dude.
Really?
And then they moved into the same apartment complex, Greenlaw Garden Apartments on 7th Avenue in Flagstaff, Arizona. So my mom and her new husband lived in apartment 28, and my dad and his new wife lived in apartment 30. So literally, there was one apartment in between us. And wow. Here, my dad, he had married this black woman and she had 4 kids of her own. And then they ended up having 2 more. So in dad's house, it was like the all black house with 8 kids. In mom's house, it was the all white house, which is me and my sister. And every stereotype that you could think of, Michael, existed in these 2 houses. Dad's house was loud, a TV in every room. There was sports on constantly. We were eating like fried chicken, collard greens, drinking Kool-Aid, listening to hip hop music and gospel. And like literally every stereotype you could think of existed over in dad's house. And then over in mom's house, it was the exact opposite. It was like country music, rock and roll, mom sitting on the couch, reading a book, humming show tunes. Like it was everything that you could imagine, bro. And my mom and Everett, they hung out in a bowling alley all the time. And I mean, it was insane. And so I grew up in this weird little space where both of my parents were trying to figure out what life looked like. Like they were out dating and, you know what I mean? Like dating new husbands, new wives. They were in that new love section, and the kids were kind of, we were just in the middle and we didn't really know exactly where we fit in or didn't fit in. And so the way that impacted me back then was I never knew, like I got along with everyone. I was a chameleon. So I could, if I was hanging out with Hispanic folks, I'd pick up a Hispanic accent. If I was hanging out with the brothers, I'd pick up a brother accent. Like wherever I was, man.
Product of your environment.
I was a product of my environment and I got along really well with everyone, but I had zero deep connections with anyone because I just didn't know where I really fit. My skin was too dark to be white. It was too light to be black. So I was just kind of in this space in the middle. So I spent a lot of time, you know, hanging out in pool halls, getting in trouble. If it looked good, it felt good. The answer was yes. If it looked good, it felt good. The answer was yes. And I was smart enough to get through school. My mom was trying to figure out her new relationship. So she was like, JR, that's what they used to call me because I'm Glenn Jr. So she'd say, JR, I don't care. As long as you get good grades, you can do whatever you want. So I didn't have a curfew once I was 13 years old and just running, man, just running. And I got into a lot of trouble. And so fast forward just a little bit, got into college, met a girl. A couple months after meeting her, she got pregnant with my first child. And so I dropped out of college so I could go to work and do what I thought was the right thing, kind of the dad thing.
How old was that, Glenn? When did you have your first child?
So I was 20. Okay. It was, I guess I was 19. It was my first year in college. Well, she got pregnant when I was 19, had her when I was 20. And so dropped out of college, hit the workforce, started working at a car wash. Then I went to a place that sold America Online. I'm dating myself right now. So I went to a place that sold America Online over the phone, learned how to do phone sales.
I still got an AOL account. Don't laugh too hard. Hey,
man, you're like a Pokemon card. You're worth like $800,000. Your vintage original AOL user.
Pokemon cards. It's funny you brought that up because my buddy just said that his son is selling Pokemon cards and making 20 and 30 grand a month selling Pokemon cards.
Oh yeah, all day long, dude. All day long. It's crazy right now. So while I hit the workforce, I was doing the phone sales. I saw an article in the paper that said make $5,000 a month guaranteed. I was like, oh, if I could make $5,000 a month, it's over. And it was an ad for a Nissan dealership. So I went to the Nissan dealership, got the job that day, and that began my career in the auto industry. So here I was in my 20s making $5,000-$7,000 a month. I had this little girl with a girl that our relationship fell apart, you know, quickly. And, you know, I was that guy that knew everything. I had it all figured out. Like, if I could get one over on you, then I win. And whatever I wanted to do, I did. So I hung out late and got in trouble and didn't make my daughter a priority and all of those things, man, all of those things. And really, I had a Darwinistic approach on life. So if I could, you know, it was survival of the fittest. So if I could get one over on Michael, I'd get one over on Michael. Like, you'd think we were buddies, but I was trying to figure out a way to win. And that's just kind of how it was.
Wow.
And so when my daughter was 6 years old is when things kind of changed. When my daughter was six, her mother hit me with papers and I lost custody of her. And so in the state of Arizona, it's a woman's rights state. And I was on the birth certificate, but we were never married. And it was just this whole ordeal. And so I got hit with papers. 30 days later, she was gone. Wasn't allowed to see her. Wasn't allowed to talk to her. Nothing. And that hit me in such a victim way. I was like, man, screw this place. This is everybody else's fault. I'm the greatest thing on the planet. What's wrong with all these people? Who cares if I've been to jail a bunch of times? Who cares if I rob, cheat, and steal? Like, who cares? I'm a good dad, right? Like, just all the lies that I told myself back then. And so I packed up everything I owned and I moved. And I had this brilliant idea. Michael, dude, I'm a very intelligent guy.
I can tell.
I'm going to blow your mind with this idea that I had. Right. So I had this incredible idea that I was going to move to Vegas and I was going to be a professional poker player for the rest of my life. That was
like Dan Fleischman.
Yeah, that's right. I had it all worked out. I was just going to go play poker for a living. I was going to be in the casino 12 hours a day, eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner there. Like, I had this fascination with Vegas and all of that stuff. And so I went to Vegas, man, and I took all the money that I had and I left the city and everybody behind me. I went to Vegas and I started playing poker. And I was living the high life and everything was amazing. And then about 2 weeks later, I was completely broke. I didn't have any gas in the car. And I was sitting in the parking lot going, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? And I had burned every bridge I could possibly burn. So I really didn't have a whole lot of people to call, but I did have some resources over in California I hadn't tapped into yet. I hadn't screwed them over. And so I went to California, stayed there for a little while, burned a few more bridges. And next thing I knew, I found myself homeless on the streets of San Diego. And here's the thing about that. It was crazy, Michael, because, you know, San Diego's this place of wealth and abundance and it's beautiful. And you see, you know, the people jogging down the beach, looking all good. And you got families holding hands, people are surfing. And it's, you know, it's the epitome of the American dream. And here I am spending every morning. I would get off the bus. They have buses that run 24 hours out there. So I would get off the bus at 6 a.m. when it hit the depot and I would walk and I would look for nickels, dimes and quarters in the streets. And if I could get enough for a sausage McMuffin with egg, I knew that that would be, that's like all the food groups right there, bro. You hit the bread, you hit the meat.
Carbs,
you hit the,
protein, you, fats. Yeah,
you get it all. You get the dairy with the cheese, right?
300 calories, you're good to go.
That's right. So a sausage McMuffin with egg, and then I would eat that. And then I'd spend the rest of the day looking for change in the streets and on the beach to where I could get back on the bus again that next night and sleep on the bus overnight until they'd kick me off again the next day at the bus depot. And so I never could bring myself to like beg for money or ask for money. I just would search. I'd just spend hours searching for pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. And I did that for a little while, not super long. You know, days kind of run together when you're homeless, but you know, weeks, maybe months, like not more than 2 months. And so I did that for a while. And each day like kind of became like Groundhog Day. Like every day was the same. And the longer I was homeless, the more I started to blend in with the scenery. And people think homelessness, they think, man, it's got to suck to not have somewhere to live or not have any food or not have any money. But really the worst part of homelessness is you become invisible. Like people wouldn't make eye contact with me. They were afraid I was going to maybe mug them or I was going to make them feel guilty and ask them for money. And so people just, they look through you, above you, around you. They never look at you. Once you become just part of the scenery, you're like a park bench or a bush that is to be avoided. And that invisible feeling where no one says your name or no one will make eye contact with you, I would never wish that on my worst enemy. It was the worst experience ever. And that invisible feeling became like, it was like the homelessness then became hopelessness. And the hopelessness became a deep depression. And that deep depression became suicidal thoughts. And in the suicidal thoughts, I started to rationalize. And I convinced myself ultimately that the world would be a better place if I wasn't in it. I had burned so many bridges. I had done so many people wrong. My mom was having to worry about me every single day. You know, like my sister was embarrassed to have me as a brother. And so I just convinced myself that I would be doing the world a favor if I could take myself out and then they could move on. And so I was in La Jolla, California, which is the first place I ever saw the ocean when I was 18 years old. Beautiful there. So I went back to the first place I ever saw the ocean and I decided that, bro, here goes another stereotype, man. Black people in water, bro. We don't mix too well, man. We don't mix. And so I'm not a very good swimmer.
I was about to ask you what you were doing there in the first place.
That's right. I'm not a very good swimmer. And so I was like, you know what? I'm gonna swim out as far as I can. And then ultimately I won't be able to make it back. And so I waited till the beaches kind of cleared out. It was in the evening and over there in La Jolla, the coves, there's the seals over there and all that. Yep. And I swam out, man. I swam out. And I just remember like at first kind of walking out and the water starts to come up, you know, and you start to feel that buoyant feeling and
anxiety.
Then you know, it's kind of it gets a little chaotic. The waves start kind of smashing you in the face and the salts on your lips and all of those things. It starts to get a little chaotic. And sometimes I'm going under and then I'm popping back up and so on and so forth. And it was interesting because it got a little chaotic. It got a little crazy. My breaths go, you know, starting to increase. My heart rate starting to increase. But then right before what I believed was the last moment, dude, it was so calm. It was so peaceful. Like it just settled in. It was like, okay, this is it. This is it. And I've experienced this in some other parts of my life. We'll have to talk about that at some other time. But I believe that we're most comfortable in life right before death. And that comfort is what kills most humans. Yep. Comfort is what ends relationships. Comfort is what gets you fired from your job. Comfort is what gets you kicked off the team. Comfort is what causes businesses to fail because we're most comfortable right before the end. And so I remember this wave of peace, like, okay, this is it, right? And it was good. And I went under, and right as I went under, my feet hit the ground. And so I like popped back up. I'm like, what the heck is going on? How can my feet hit the ground? I'm out here in the middle of the ocean. Like I'm thinking I'm about to die. And then all of a sudden, and so I turn around and I look, man, and I'm back up on the shore. So the tide had been coming in while I was trying to swim out, and I wasn't even a strong enough swimmer to swim out past the tide. And so here I am, I roll back up on the beach, man. I'm laying there. I'm looking up at the stars, and I'm thinking, golly, Glenn, you can't even do this right. You know, you can't even take yourself out, bro. Like I just had such a low opinion of myself. Mm. And so I laid there, and as I laid there, the sky just kind of expanded, man. And I could see the stars, and it was just so huge. And all of a sudden I just felt really small, and my problems shrank with it. It was like, wait a minute, dude, like your problems are nothing. Look at the expanse of the universe. And then some people, you know, maybe you call it God, maybe you call it a whisper, maybe you call it intuition, maybe you call it a thought. I don't know. But I remember laying there looking at the stars, and then it hit me like, Glenn, you take yourself wherever you go. You are responsible for everything that's happened in your life. And all of a sudden I just shifted from this victim mentality that I had where it was everyone else's fault to the realization, like, wait a minute, I was there for all of these things that went bad in my life. Like I was the only constant. Didn't matter what city I was in, didn't matter what state I was in, didn't matter what group of people I was around. I was the only thing that was consistent. And so if I was the catalyst of all things bad in my life, maybe, just maybe, I could be the catalyst of all things good. And so from that moment, I thought, okay, wait a minute. And I am a student. I'm a good student. I love to study. And so at that moment, I thought, okay, I got to figure out who this guy is. Like, that's where the answers are at. The answers are, I got to figure out who Glenn is. If I can figure out who Glenn is, then Glenn can ultimately be the catalyst of things good. And so immediately, man, that next day, it's crazy how God works. So that next day, this woman came up to me. I was sitting on the beach. This woman comes up to me and she says, have you ever heard of Dianetics? And she hands me a Dianetics book. And I'm like, what is this? And she's like, well, it's the study of the conscious and the subconscious mind and what makes humans tick and all this other stuff. And she's like, as a matter of fact, I can take you. You can watch a movie on it. There, we have this church over here that you can go check out. And I'm like, okay, you know, I ain't doing nothing else with my life. You're the first person to ever, you know, say hi to me in the last 2 months. And so I took this Dianetics book, and this woman took me to the Orange County Church of Scientology in Tustin, California. And I went in and I watched this movie that I found just fascinating. And I took an IQ test and I scored a 167 on my IQ test. And so they immediately offered me a position on staff. They said, your IQ is up there. We need to get you on staff. Plus you got sales experience. You could help us sell some books. I said, okay, great. So you guys are going to give me money? Okay, cool. All right. And you're going to put me in, give me a place to stay? They're like, yeah, you can stay with some other people that are part of the church. So they gave me a place to stay. They gave me some money. And I started taking classes at the Orange County Church of Scientology, studying Glenn. And one of the first things that they talk about at the church was this idea of what they call a thetan, what we call a soul, that there's actually a third dimension to us as human beings. It's not just mind and body, but it's mind, body, and spirit. And so when I read that, I thought, okay, well, this is kind of fascinating. This is coming from another angle. This is coming from science, right? And I was a Darwinistic mind at the time. So I'm like, so science says there's a third dimension. It's not just some crazy Jesus loving thumping book that says that, right? And so I started to study. And as I studied, I started to unlock some doors and I started to realize we are 3D. Now, once I realized we were 3D, I started to recognize some things in the church that didn't necessarily align with my spirit. And so after about 6 months of studying at the Orange County Church of Scientology, I left and decided to go back and start exploring some other things. And so I started exploring Buddhism and Christianity and just really trying to get this whole concept of a 3D life. What does that look like? And ultimately for me, as I made this journey and many things happened, I ended up moving from California back to Arizona. And then from Arizona, I ended up out here in Kentucky, which is where I am now. But as I went on this journey, for me, I found the path to my own spiritual enlightenment through Jesus Christ and Christianity. And since then, I've been leaning into discovering that more. What does that look like? What does that mean? What is my responsibility that comes with that? As a child of God, we're born with both the ability and the responsibility to make an impact in other people's lives. And that's truly what I believe. We have this born on date and this expiration date, and there's a little dash in the middle, and that dash is impact. What type of impact can we have in other people's lives? Now, in my 2D life, I had a negative impact in people's lives. Now in my 3D life, I'm focused on having a positive impact in people's lives. So fast forward a little bit, man, made my way to Kentucky, met my now wife. Shockingly, within months, she was pregnant. Wait a minute, been here before. I remember this. Meet a girl, get her pregnant. Yeah, I've done that twice now.
2D life, that was a 2D life.
Yeah. That's right. I'm like, okay, so we're not going to make the same mistakes last time. We're not going to go play poker for a living this time. We're not going to do that.
Not going to be homeless.
Yeah, we're not going to be homeless. We're not going to go in and out of jail. We're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to try to make this, we're going to take this gift and this blessing and make an incredible experience out of it. And so I got back into the car business, started at a dealership in a small town, helped that dealership grow 800% to become the second largest used car franchise dealership in the country, made a name for myself in the auto industry, started pouring more into people. And then in January of 2018, I started doing this show called Hashtag Rise and Grind, first thing in the morning with motivation, education, inspiration. That show blew up. It became a movement. The following on it was crazy. It became a clothing line with those t-shirts that you so kindly expressed your appreciation for. A clothing line. We started doing live events, masterminds, elites. We started raising dollars and giving back. We've raised close to about $800,000 in the last 3 years, 400 of that to help battle human sex trafficking. Like, we've been doing, all kinds of things. We've taken homeless people off the streets. We've just done some amazing things with the Rise and Grind group. And over that period of time, I keep having kids. They just keep popping out. And in October of 2018, I held my own event with Eric Thomas, was there as one of our speakers. And so I got to share the stage with Eric Thomas and speak, and just felt the hairs on my arms go up going, you are in the right place, Glenn. This is exactly where I want you. And I came back from that event, spent a couple of days with my wife. I had been working 70 hours a week growing this dealership. So it was awesome to see her and the kids. And then I went to a men's Christian leadership conference the next weekend. This was all within 10 days. Eric Thomas, 3 days with family, men's Christian leadership conference. And at the men's Christian leadership conference, the pastor was like, Jesus is not some flannel graham sheep carrying weak sauce. Like, he is a fierce warrior that fought for his mission, that fought for hope, that fought for humans, that fought for civilization. He was a fighter. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, that's right. That's what I'm talking about. I'm a fighter too. And so I went back to work on that Monday after those 10 days. And here I am making incredible money. My wife's 9 months pregnant with child number 6, I think. Everything's perfect. We got the white picket fence. I've made a name for myself. I'm established. I'm in the top position possible, as high as you can go in the company. And I'm sitting there in a meeting with one of the owners, and God literally tugs me and goes, hey, why don't you come with me? We're going to go on a little journey here. And he gave me a choice. I remember thinking, I can stay right here and do this for the next 10 years and life will be good. Or I can walk away from this right here, the security, the comfort. I can step out of the boat and really see what God has planned for me. And so in October of 2018, right there in that meeting, I quit my job. No plan, no expectation. I literally thought I would work at that place forever. I loved my job. I loved it. I loved the people. I built it. I was the face of the place.
That was like, Kentucky, was right, Greg? That was in Kentucky, right?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I loved it. I loved the owner. I mean, the owner and I are still best friends to this day. Like, I absolutely loved it. But God told me, and I felt kind of comfortable. And like I said earlier, you're most comfortable in life right before death. And I'm not ready to die yet, man. I feel like there's invisible people out there that need to be seen, and they need to understand that they have significance and they have worth and that they add value and that they were put here as children of God to ultimately go out there and make a positive impact in other people's lives. And they have a responsibility to do so. So I walked away from my job and really leaned into the rise and grind thing. And that has just been unbelievable. I'm still servicing the auto industry, but now I'm working with owners and GMs of dealerships all across the country, helping them scale their volume, their profitability, their employee retention, and the overall culture in their dealership. And then 2 months ago, God literally went, whoa, and gave us Clubhouse.
Hey, it came right at the end of a 21-day fast for me. So I trust me.
Dude, you don't have to. I literally looked up. I'm like, no way, this is insane. And so we immediately added Clubhouse to our distribution for Rise and Grind. And then we built Breakfast with Champions around it. And in 8 weeks, it's, Rise and Grind has taken us 3 years to build. We have doubled in 8 weeks on Clubhouse. We've doubled the amount of people we were able to reach in 3 years with Rise and Grind. It's insane. And so that's where I'm at now, man. I'm living a 3D life, mind, body, spirit. If it looks good, feels good, and is good, then the answer is yes. And so, yeah, that's where I'm at, man. Raising my babies. My wife and I have been married for a little over 10 years now, and we're just continuing to see where God takes us.
I love that. And it's cool. My wife and I, Lisa and I, just celebrated our 12th anniversary on Sunday, this past Sunday.
Congrats.
And it's kind of funny, Glenn. So my wife gets all dressed up on Friday night, and we're supposed to be going to this formal event that our church puts on for volunteers. My wife is the lead intercessor at the church. So she prays with the pastor in a private setting before every service. She has a super prophetic gift. She actually told me the day my dad was going to come to know the Lord. She said, your dad's going to get saved. And I was like, yeah, honey, I know. She said, no, tomorrow.
Wow.
No, tomorrow. And so what do you think? I woke up the next day with an expectation of something that I'd prayed for 30 years, Glenn, 30 years. And I remember like it was yesterday, I was driving home at that time I was in the brick and mortar fitness business, and this will kind of show my age. I was in the top 1% of the fitness industry for over 15 years, where the average trainer made about $30,000 to $40,000. I made well over six figures every year for 15 years and super successful, taught CEUs, did all this crazy stuff. And one day the Holy Spirit said, well, that's not all I have for you. He said, you need to walk away from all of this. I'm going to build you multiple streams of
income,
that you're going to live off of a small portion and you're going to give the rest away to build the kingdom.
Right.
And so like when we went to this event on Friday, we get there and we pull in and there's nobody in the parking lot. Like there's no one there. And my wife is laughing. And of course I have to be honest, I was not laughing at first because I had to like hurry and get ready and put on a tux and all this stuff. And I said, no, I'm not going to wear the tux. Thank God I didn't. But she's like, oh, it's next month.
Oh, wow.
So, wow. So we went and celebrated our anniversary because that's how God changes things. So tell me about how you pivoted now and some of the things that Clubhouse has allowed you to do, because if it's expanded what took you almost 3 years for Rise and Grind, and now in just about 2 months, like 10X, right? Like you've been to 10X conference and 10X is coming up pretty soon again. I got my ticket. I'm going to watch the online version. I wish I could go to Miami, but it just didn't work out. But the purpose of where you're going now, what's the next season of this 3D life look like for Glenn Lundy? What's the next season look like for you?
Yeah, you know, the more I spend time with God, as far as trying to understand him and the path that he has carved out for me, the more I believe I know where I'm going, even though it sounds crazy when I say it out loud. And the reason I'm saying these words this way is 2 days ago, I was sitting in the, I just got off the phone with Tim Story, who had called me saying he wanted to be a part of Breakfast with Champions, which was incredible. And
it was awesome today, by the way.
Thank you. And as soon as I get off phone Tim Story, I jump in my truck to go grab lunch and I look down, my phone's ringing. It's Les Brown. And so Les Brown was one of the most impactful voices in my life in that season of transition going from 2D to 3D in the beginning. I listened to Les every single day, every minute of every day, right? Like I think it's funny, Michael, you know a lot of motivational speakers and stuff. So for those of you that aren't in the motivational speaker world, maybe as much as others are, I feel like motivational speakers are like music. So depending on where you are in your life, there's different music that you like to listen to. Like when you get a breakup, you listen to all the sad songs, right? You're like, ooh, I love, you know, and you mourn the breakup through your sad music. And if you're in like a pump up time or you're starting a new company or something, you got your pump up music. Well, I think motivational speakers are the same way. And so when I was coming out of homelessness and transitioning, like Les Brown was my jam. You know, Les Brown was like, you can look up.
Les was the guy, right? You know who mine was, Glenn? Mine was Miles Monroe.
Oh yeah, I know Miles.
When he went to be with the Lord, I was totally shut, totally dead. Like I'm like, I used to just listen to his YouTube videos. And I don't know if you remember this pastor, but his name was Frederick Price. He was an African-American pastor.
Yeah,
he preached it. I used to buy his cassettes. This is obviously showing my age even more. I used to buy. So my father would give me $20. $20 back in the 80s was a lot of money. Let's just be real.
Yeah, big deal.
And so I'd give my tithe, my $2, right. And then I would buy these cassette tapes, $4 every week. And so I had, you know, 15, 12, 12, 13 bucks left over. Right? I could do whatever I wanted with that. I could totally get a deal for $1.50 and you know, I could get me a McMuffin for 49 cents, you know, right, back in the day. And I just continued to listen to Miles Monroe and Frederick Price. And I got it in my spirit. And at 11, I came to know the Lord. Literally, I was, when everybody would see me in high school, Glenn, they would say, here comes Jesus.
Right.
They would say, right. And I was like, no, I do not want to, I do not want to hear that. But yeah. So tell me a little bit about Les Brown. So you just constantly, that was your guy in transition, right?
Yeah. So Les was my guy. And then I went to Eric as I started to get a little tougher. Then I could handle a little Eric Thomas. And then I went from Eric to like Jim Rohn and John Maxwell. And you know, you just kind of make your way through the thing. It's interesting. Yep. So Les, you know, was there when I was at my worst and really got me out of that. And so for my phone to ring and me to look down, it's Les Brown. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is incredible, right? I've met him once before at 10X, but that was like a quick thing. Here's an actual phone call. And so the reason I'm sharing this with you is while I was on the phone with Les, he said, what are you doing, Glenn? What are you doing? Tell me what you're doing.
Sound and just so, like him.
Yeah. So I told him what I was doing and everything. And I said, man, I'm just showing up every day. I don't know what God's doing with me. I'm just showing up every day was what I said. And Les immediately said, no, 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 Glenn. No, no, no. He said, don't you ever say that again. You know exactly what God is doing with you. You've seen it. You have the vision. If you didn't know what he was doing with you, you never would have left your job to begin with. So don't say that, Glenn. Don't say you don't know, because you do. And so I really took that to heart 2 days ago. So when you asked where we're going, my initial instinct is to say, I don't know. I'm just showing up every day and I'm letting God lead the way. But the reality is, I feel like I know. I feel like we are on the path to becoming the number one most listened to / watched morning show in the world. I believe that we are on a path to be able to reach hundreds of millions of people with motivation, education, and inspiration, and ultimately to help those that feel invisible and inferior to recognize their significance and to be seen. That's why when I, with Breakfast with Champions, we say everyone's got a seat at the table, because I want people to know I see you. Like, I see you in the room. I don't care where the app has you positioned. You have the equal amount of value. Now, there may be some people on the stage that can pour and breathe life because they're further along, but that doesn't mean that they're any more valuable, right? We are all children of God. And so I believe that God is using my history, my story, my past, my experiences, the fact that I'm half black and half white, the fact that I can get along with everyone, I can see things from everybody's perspective, I can understand the white side of white privilege and why that's offensive to them. I can understand the black side of Black Lives Matters and why that's offensive to them. Like, I can see all of that, right? God gave me that. And though I didn't appreciate it when I was young, I so much appreciate it now. And so we are going to continue to expand to reach the darkest corners of this planet as we help people feel seen and ultimately, hopefully, lead them, or at least be a tool so that God can lead them to their greatness.
That's so good. Let's finish up with this question. This is so good, because here's what's really good about Glenn. He, you know, I'm in this season, Glenn, where my desire is to have intimacy with God. Okay. It's my desire. It's my desire. It's my desire to be a better husband, to be a better friend. You know, I now can look in the mirror. My wife writes, so we moved into this big house on the water, which God just, I mean, I have a Muslim landlord, because we're going to build a house this year. And so it's just, and how this all happened. I mean, we lost all that money, sold our house, made like $60,000 off our house. Our credit went from 830 to 430, like overnight, right? And now God is beginning to take us back in that direction, because I learned from it, right? Like, I didn't just quit and give up, and the momentum was going towards seven figures, and then boom, my wife called me one day and she said, honey, it's a good thing we have residual income. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, our credit ran out and we need to change. Something needs to happen. And we, you know, my pastor does a fast, and that's the end of that. But my wife writes little things on my mirror, Glenn, in the bathroom up here. So she uses the bathroom downstairs, which is our main bedroom. And then my office is in this big loft upstairs. And whoever made this house, if my dad would see that, my dad's been over here and he's like, well, they didn't do that right. And they didn't do that right. And why is the bathroom up like that upstairs? And how come there's not two sinks down here? You know, a typical construction foreman father is like, you know, it's like your house, you know, country music over here. And you kind of, you know, my dad is construction foreman for probably almost 40 years. I mean, he literally worked until he couldn't work anymore. And so when my wife, I've kind of made life and death be in my tongue, right? And so my wife has taught me to speak life instead of death. I used to always say, Glenn, that I hated sales,
right?
Literally, I would always say, and you know, you can't say that when you're in the sales business, like when you're
absolutely
in
not.
And so I literally would, because when my old brick and mortar fitness business, I had a 6-month waiting list, Glenn. So I never had to sell anybody. People just came in when one person would go off. And I had people that I had when I sold that business that I'd had for 16 and 17 years as clients. Mm. So I would just say, do you want to work with me for 3 months, 6 months, or a year? And I'd give them a contract and they would leave. And then when I realized that my tongue was speaking death to me, I started just sending people emails to try to sign them up. And you know, that doesn't work, right? In the car business, you say, hey, well, you can go home and I'll send you the price over email, right?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Not going to happen.
Right? Yeah. And and I'm not coming back, right? I'll go find where somebody else. So my wife wrote affirmations on my mirror up here. If you went in my bathroom up here, it's massive. You'd see affirmations that my wife writes. Honey, you are this. Honey, you are this. You, and then the last one says, and you are great at sales. So I took that to heart. And I have a coach. His name's Israel Duran. He's 26 years old. He has multiples. It works with 7, 8, 9 figure earners. He's just a kingdom minded guy. And when I hear motivation, education, and inspiration, that's what I want to finish with. I want you to tell me and share with our listeners what that means to you and what it means to impact people with motivation, inspiration, and education.
Yeah. So those are our, you know, motivation, education, inspiration, to be honest, is they are our gateway drug to where we're really trying to get. So if I can motivate you a little bit, if I can educate you a little bit and I can inspire you, then you're more likely to trust me. You're going to get closer to me. We're going to have a more intimate relationship over time. And hopefully I can show you what I'm really trying to show you, which is that you are a child of God. And that is all the motivation, education, and inspiration that we really need, right? But the other stuff is the gateway. So for example, my show is 30 minutes long. It's motivation, it's education, it's inspiration, but it ends the same way every time. So I hook you and you come on in, we get close, we have fun, we dance a little bit, right? I get y'all jacked up, I get you going, we do this, we do that, we laugh, we talk, I teach you something, you're like, I like this guy. And then right as soon as you like me, I'm like, boom, you are a child of God, the God of the universe, God that made everything. That God made you to be the absolute best version of yourself that you can possibly be. Not an average version, not a below average, not above average, the absolute best version of yourself that you can possibly be. And we have 4 core values around Rise and Grind, 4 keywords that we focus on. Rise, evolve, impact, together. Those are our 4 words. So I believe that if we can help people rise every single day with intention and purpose, that ultimately they will evolve into the best versions of themselves that they can possibly be so that they can go out and make an impact in other people's lives. And the best part is we do it together. You don't have to do it alone. None of us are alone. Even if you're sitting alone in a corner somewhere, you're still not alone. You're a child of God. He's with us. He's with us always. And so that's what we build around, man. So every time we make a decision, like, hey, should we do this or should we go this way or should we go that way? I'm like, okay, well, does it help people rise every day with intention and purpose? Does it help people evolve? Does it help people make an impact? And is it something we can do together? Because this is not a solo sport. And if the answer is yes, then our answer is yes. If the answer is no, then the answer is no. So that's the vehicle that I've been given, and we're going to run it till the wheels fall off.
I love it. So Glenn, thank you so much for that. Rise, evolve, impact together. I love it. I love it. And so guys, if you're listening today, the only way. So before Glenn, before we go, tell us how people can connect with you, obviously on Clubhouse at Breakfast with Champions, which is my wife always says to me now in the morning, we have an alarm set for 6 a.m. because we get up at 6 every morning, and we don't have any devices in the room. So she has a little thing that says, hey, honey, go get the iPad and bring Rise and Grind in here.
Hey.
Right. And so she started to listen. She's a CD person. She's a CS personality. If you've ever done the disc test, non-confrontational. Yeah. She's a Proverbs 31 woman, which means
she's my wife.
She always sees the best in everybody. Never. I've only seen her mad twice in my life. Once when the guy cost us a whole, you know, $500,000. And then once when I made her mad one time, which, hey, Glenn, I'm doing pretty good. I've only seen her mad twice. And once was my fault. Right.
Right.
She just sees the best and she encourages me. She tells me how, you know, even when my love language is positive words of affirmation and acts of service. She tells me, you know, she inspires me. She encourages me. I love to watch her worship. She's a worshiper. She has a flag ministry that she worships with flags, and she's my angel. And I'm grateful for her. So tell us how people can connect with you a little bit more besides that.
Yeah. Best thing to do. You can go to glennlundy.com. If you go to glennlundy.com, then that'll connect you to my Instagram, my Facebook, the Rise and Grind group. I have a free ebook that people can download, all that good stuff. So glennlundy.com is the easiest way.
And I love it because Glenn, and as we go, I just want to say thank you, Glenn, for your inspiration, your education, right? All the stuff that you do, and just for being a friend. You've really, it's good when people, because my wife is very reserved when it comes to really, I mean, we could write 100 names on that board, right? But we really pray about I think the most important friendship Eric and I talked about this morning, most important relationships and friendship we could have is people who intercede for you, people who can pray for you outside. You know, your life didn't roll into that shore just by coincidence. There was somebody praying for you. There was people praying for you. And Eric says it all the time, you know, in his videos and everything. There was, when he was eating out of trash cans, there was a group of women that were praying for him and believing that he would be great, right? And then he realized it, just like you did, just like I did. So guys, the only way that people get to know Glenn is that you download this podcast and that you share it with others. I'm super excited to just be a part of what Glenn's doing and support him. My wife and I, we also support Operation Underground Railroad that wants to stop human trafficking. I'm super excited that Glenn is on board with stopping human trafficking too. And so guys, I say this at the end of every podcast, love God, love people, and live with passion and live with intentionality. And I think once you do that, your relationship with God becomes greater and you make a bigger impact. So till the next session, God bless you all. Thanks for being here. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the HeFluence Podcast. We hope you enjoyed. Be sure to rate, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review. And as always, you can follow Michael on all social media platforms at Michael David Huey or www.michaeldavidhuey.com. Until next time, God bless and take care.